There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Today's date is the 24th of June, 2014, and it is exactly 1 minute and 51 seconds after the hour of 8 o'clock Central Daylight Savings Time here in the central part of the United States of America. Tonight, we're going to talk about protection, about guarding your heart, protecting your spirit, understanding that the choices that you make, and they're always going to be small, ridiculous choices that you make that put your heart, your soul, the essence of who you are in peril, in harm's way. An example could be that you get off work early, and instead of going home to spend time with your family or to maybe fix a special meal, you decide that you've got a couple hours, everybody just figures you're still at work, this would be a good time to go have a drink in a bar, go to a casino gambling, maybe go shopping, even though maybe the budget really can't afford you to go shopping. It doesn't sound like it's a bad thing. It doesn't really sound like a real sinful thing. But yet, look at the choices. Look at the danger that you put your heart in. Your relationships with your friends and family. It's always going to seem like it's harmless, innocent. There's no malice involved. No intent or disregard for someone's feelings. But yet, for every action, there is a reaction, cause and effect. Now think of that. For every action, there's a reaction. If you have fleshly thoughts, you'll have fleshly reactions. If you have worldly desires, you'll have worldly results. So would it not make sense that if you have grace, spiritual, Christian thoughts, the actions will be of grace? It literally is this simple, but yet so, so complicated and difficult, because we all get caught up in the moment. At the time, it seems it's harmless. Nobody will know. It doesn't matter. It's no big thing. It's nothing that I haven't done before. It's nothing that I won't do again. And it certainly has been done to me. All these little knee-jerk rationalizations fuel the fire of poor selection, poor choices. Because that's exactly what we're talking about, Jim, is we're talking about the choices that we make put really who we are in harm's way. It's hard to be a loving father if you choose your hobbies over your kids. it's hard to be a good mother and to fix dinner if you stop off at the casino.
Right.
It's tough to be a good boyfriend or a girlfriend if you never really put that little bit of effort into companionship and friendship to support the relationship to be together.
Yeah, I see this as an extremely important topic. In fact, tonight, and I know BJ is going to talk to you in a little bit about the emails and the text messages and just how to go about doing that, because we really do love to interact with people as we're talking, as we're sharing. But I really believe that this topic tonight is so important, so super simple, and yet very profound, by saying it's exactly what God meant in the Garden of Eden when he talked to Adam and Eve and said to guard and keep the garden. In fact, we find that over in Genesis in chapter 2:15, and in the Amplified it says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and guard and keep it." Well, I had one person say to me one time, you know, God put man in the garden because he had a lot of work to do. And I asked him, I said, well, what work was that he had to do? What was left to do? Did he have to pull weeds? Did he have to cultivate the soil? Did he have to water plants? I mean, what did he do? And when you really come down to it, and I don't want to get too much information just yet, but, you know, you think about it, God gave Adam and Eve one revelation. He said, "I am Jehovah Elohim." And the word Jehovah means, "I am now revealing myself in covenant to you as," and Elohim means, "the one true and only God." And this is exactly what God was saying to Adam and Eve. He was saying, guard, tend, and keep your heart towards this relationship where I am the one and only that you need. And that's exactly what have kept them from ever thinking twice about listening to somebody else in the garden at a tree, especially being a serpent, when they had authority over all the animals and everything that God had made. Why would they listen to somebody else when God said, "I'm the only one you'll ever need"? And this is about guarding your heart. So right back at the very beginning of all things, isn't it interesting that God wanted us to guard our heart, and our heart is where our relationship comes from. So really, God was wanting us to guard our relationship. I want those of you that are listening already, and that we're going to give you a couple times tonight opportunities to send in text messages, so I'm going to let BJ tell you how to do it. But if this seems to be a topic that you already, just from listening to the few things that you have, are extremely interested, you feel like it's something that's definitely for you tonight, write in and let us know. BJ will tell you how.
Okay, folks, if it's an email, it's the name of the show, The Abiding Presence, at gmail.com. If you would like to send a text message, the way you send a text message is the first word that you type in your text message is grace. And then once you type grace, you type the rest of your comment or question, and you send it to this five-digit number, 69302. If you don't want your name mentioned, or if you don't want something read, please start your email or text off with "don't read" or "no read" or "no name," something, so that we don't let the cat out of the bag, so to speak. And we all have things that literally get in our way. The biggest obstacle I have between myself and the guys is horses. Horses have always been the number one priority in my life. It took precedence over anybody I've ever met. Family, friend, enemy, nobody was more important than me spending time in the barn or in the pasture, in the field, with the horses. And then anything to do with those horses, with my dog. Well, that seems harmless. It's not drugs. It's not alcohol. It's not pornography. It's not stealing or burning down someone's home or hurting someone.
Sorry.
What?
No, you're...
You think it's funny when somebody's house burns down?
No, not at all. It's just enjoying how your mind was pontificating and just giving us information.
But yet, it's in the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was in the way for almost my entire life. I mean, some would say, well, that's not a sin. You're taking care of horses. But see, it's about proportionate. And it's about prioritizing.
Yeah, very good.
Because I spend just as much time with horses now. The only difference is that the guys are with me.
Yeah, that's very good.
And things are going smoother.
And, I like that.
And it's you have to realize it's really this simple. It may not see this simple. It might be difficult to choose. But it really is simple. You literally have a choice at any given moment as to where your thoughts go.
Right.
Where your desires, what you think is harmful or positive or negative or good, it's a moment by moment decision.
How quickly did you notice, because I'm noticing now very, very strongly as I'm increasing, how much of a guard is becoming a part of my mind? It's like there's a filter, there's a governor now, where instead of your mind just going anywhere, it's almost automatic that if it goes the wrong place, it begins to shut down. How quickly did you notice that your mind began to immediately?
I don't have that.
Okay.
I don't have that. I don't have anything like that. The only thing I noticed was that whenever I drove, the first thing I would do is start the truck, turn the radio on, and mm-hmm. then roll the windows down. And I can't even recall the last time that the radio was on in the in one of the trucks.
Okay.
I'm clueless. I really am. Talking to the guys and, you know, fellowshipping with Jesus and most of the time, I don't even know how I got there. I don't remember stopping at red lights. I don't remember making turns, but I always get to where I'm going early and with no consequence
right
at all. Well, that's grace. I see this all over in my life, just different areas where I find that things that were tedious and monotonous before, uh-huh. I still do them, but the time just seems to be of no importance.
Okay.
Because remember, calendars, clocks, air temperature, hungry, thirsty, these are not the attributes of a child of Christ. We're made in his image. You know, it's kind of interesting. The guys don't know how to tell time because there is no time.
Yeah, it's just eternity.
Yeah, it just goes on and gone. There's no limits and boundaries.
Right.
We got our first text. Let's see, it says, BJ, did the guys ever ask you to, for a time, walk completely away from horses until you could balance the equation? No, the guys never, no. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, grace, they would never ask anybody to walk away from anything. Whether it's tremendously, wonderfully pleasant or just tragically disastrous. They never ask anything.
That's just all free will.
It's all free will choice. Because if somebody is waiting for the guys to ask them to do something, well, that's just weak. It means that you need somebody to tell you to do something because you're right. not strong right. enough to choose yourself.
Sure.
And mm-hmm. and it's all about strength, choosing good over evil.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to do nothing and to be nothing. But you have to literally put your brakes on. You have to draw a line on the ground and say, no, I'm done.
Right.
This is as far as this is going to go.
Yeah, I mean, even with Jesus, you know, there was in Hebrews chapter 4:15, it says, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus had multiple opportunities, just like anybody else would, to cave in, to give in to the flesh, to be attached to the world, but he kept himself spot free.
Well, look at some of the things that happened. I mean, a perfect example is when he's walking around with his buddy Calvin on the water.
Right.
You know, and Calvin starts to say, hey, I'm walking on the water with Jesus. And look at when Jesus was on that camping trip for 40 days.
Right.
You know, and some guy stopped him and said, well, you know, you haven't had a sandwich, not even an energy bar, nothing. You know, and Jesus, for a moment, he says, well, yeah, I'm kind of hungry.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, and then yeah. look at the coup de grace. He's beat within an inch of his life. They nail him to a fence post like a dead coyote. Then they stick him in a cave. And then he gets sent to hell for 3 days.
Right.
And then he gets to go home. To be with his dad. The whole dynamics of this shows
right.
that anything negative is temporary. And that you can choose to literally rise above it.
Right.
To avoid it.
Yeah, that's good.
Which is what we're talking about as far as guarding, protecting yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I've never understood why people, I'll give you an example. On okay. Facebook the other day, this lady Facebooked me, and she says, we're having a petition and a protest about this this gas station.
Okay.
And I said, because what? You got more gas than you need? And she says, no, this gas station sells, you know, like adult, you know, nudie magazines.
Okay.
You know,
right.
Girly magazines, whatever you want to call them. And I says, why don't you call me? So she's got my number because I work on her horses. She calls uh-huh. me. And I says, let me get this straight. I says, what's the petition about? And she says, well, we want this gas station to stop selling magazines. And I go, are they like out of date? Are they wrong? You know, as I says, are their prices too high? What? And she says, what? And she says, no, but they're in there. And I says, well, exactly where are they? And I says, are they like next to the bubble gum and candy bars and chips for kids to
right,
see?
Right.
And she says, no, they're behind the counter. And I says, so let me get this straight. You have to ask to buy one. They're behind the counter like the cigarettes are and stuff. And she says, well, yeah. And I says, are you having a hard time buying your gas and not leaving with a couple magazines? And she goes, certainly not.
Right, right.
Sure. Indignant on me. She goes, certainly not, Mr. Rickard.
And right.
I says, what do you care? I says, if you're not going to buy them, the guy hasn't offered to sell you one. There's no way for a kid to see it, let alone buy it. What do you care? And she says, well, it's just wrong. It's bad. And I just think that, you know, we shouldn't have that. And I says, well, I don't think stupid people should have horses or own pets, but you don't see me going around taking them out with my rifle, do you? Just, well, no.
Yeah.
You know, and I says, okay, I'll tell you what. I'll go talk to this guy at the gas station, and I'll show him how he can make as much money by not selling the magazines by just increasing 20 a quarter of one penny every 2 gallons of gas. What? And I says, yeah. I says, if he just increases his cost
right.
of his gas at his gas station by 25% of one penny, the thousands of gallons will make more money, and then he'll make more money, and he won't have to sell those magazines. And she says, well, you're just being ridiculous now. And I says, no, I'm not.
Because what it all comes down to is a person's choice anyhow.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, how many times have I told you it doesn't matter if you're sitting in a structure or building listening to religious songs, hymns being sung, correct. And you're reading your Bible, or you could go to a cocktail lounge.
Right.
And sit in a corner and read your Bible. There is no difference. It's about your personal connection
right.
and who you are.
Right.
The fact that you let something get in your way.
Or distract you.
Or distract you. Or that right. you're afraid of something.
Right.
You only have so many conscious minutes of quote-unquote life on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody makes a choice what they do with those minutes. So are you going to spend days on days signing a petition for something that has no danger to you other than you just don't like them and you wouldn't buy one? Or is that time that you could just be enjoying grace and doing something positive?
Right, right. You know, we were talking earlier just about good and bad at the same time and the free will choice and how that a choice of good when it's presented with bad is basically to eliminate bad so that it really doesn't even exist.
Well, the thing that...
In other words, it's not important.
If it were... The thing that really perplexes people, if I say, why is it that drugs exist, that alcohol exists, cigarettes, pornography, gambling, why are there wars, why are there battles, why do the guys let somebody kick a kitten around like it's a soccer ball?
Right.
Why do you think these things occur? Why do they happen? And why have they happened all through the entire recorded history of man?
Uh-huh.
Why do these happen? And I'd say, because it's part of the choice of who you are and where your authority is. What drives you? What's important to you? I said, because what happens if all of a sudden the guys say, you know, you can't abuse animals. But they just let everything else go. Because the endless, powerless love of Christ is a very dangerous thing to try to understand. Because you have to realize that you really do have free choice.
Right.
You can love your family or you can kill your family as they sleep.
Right, right.
And the choice is up to you.
So this goes back to the
there
equation.
There you go. You like that one?
I do. This goes back to the equation that I use a lot when I preach, but I don't think that the point is strong enough or that people actually receive it, maybe absolute enough, that the devil is completely defeated, he has no power, and we're made in the image and likeness of God.
So then that's a great point. Say that again.
Well, the devil has absolutely no power, zero percentage, and we're made in the image and likeness of God. It's an equation that has an amazing answer to it. But I don't think people take the answer as seriously as they need to. And what you just got through saying is that equation.
You know, it's kind of interesting. Well, you know this, but there's no reason why anybody listening to the show would. But I've never been drunk.
Right.
I can't stand the smell or taste of alcohol. And I don't even like food, you know, like mushroom sautéed in wine or rum cake.
Right,
or,
right.
You know, I just don't like it. I've never liked it, and I never have. I never will.
Uh-huh.
But right now, in my house, I've got, I got a half a bottle of wine. I got some really super expensive organically made vodka.
Okay.
That was like $200 for a bottle. What a boondoggle that is.
Uh-huh.
And then I got almost a brand new bottle of Southern Comfort.
Is that whiskey?
I think so. Yeah. Is it? Is Southern Comfort whiskey?
I was never a drinker either. I don't know.
But the point is, I've got about 3 or 4 different bottles of stuff in my refrigerator. And the reason it is because every once in a while somebody comes out to the ranch, mm-hmm. and they says, boy, I wish I could have a drink. I says, if you want to bring something, go buy it. I mean, if you want to drink something, buy it, uh-huh. and we'll just keep it in the refrigerator in the barn, and it's here when you're here.
Right.
And a guy came out and I says, hey, I says, you know, you got this bottle of Southern Comfort. And he goes, I bought that 5 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And I says, do you want to take it home? And he says, no, just leave it here just in case.
Oh, God.
I said, okay.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, why would it? I'm with the guys.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
A lot of people would say, oh, well, you're a Christian now. You're against drinking. How can you have a bottle of alcohol in your refrigerator? What does it matter? I've never touched it. It's not in my way.
Right.
At Christmas time, I take them out because I load up on eggnog. And so, you know, I just put all the bottles, you know.
Right.
In a cabinet, because then I've got, I can have extra
eggnog.
I can have 4 more quarts of, yep. 4 or 5 more quarts of eggnog.
Yep.
And then after Christmas is over and there's no more eggnog in the store, then I throw the booze back in there. But my point is, I'm not tempted by it. It's not who
right.
I am.
Right.
I choose not to drink. That doesn't mean I'm going to go blow up a distillery or picket or petition a liquor store. It's just a simple choice to make. It's called self-control and choosing what is right or wrong.
Right, right.
It's easy to do, but it's not simple if you're an alcoholic.
You know, and this is a good time to insert this because of what you just
used. Does
this
make sense?
It does, and I'm gonna just kind of embellish it a little bit here. But over in Galatians, I'm turning there right now, Galatians chapter 5, and let's see here. Paul talks about the fruit that we have, that there's fruit on the inside of us, the fruit of the Spirit. And let me go to that right here. It's Galatians 5 and verse 22. And so I'm going to read that for just a second because this is interesting. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, what you just got through saying. Okay, well, here's the point. The point is, all of this that's in us begins to work in a greater degree, the greater the connection with God Himself that we have. So, for instance, you just got through saying, you know, I have self-control. There's no reason for me to even think about, well, for someone else, let's just say that you're struggling with your choice. The self-control is in you, but that's where the connection comes. And the connection with God is what brings out all this fruit.
Well, look at the ability, the power, the influence that Jesus and his friends had.
Right.
I mean, if you can turn water into wine and turn one loaf of bread into a whole bunch, and didn't he do something with lobster or crab or shrimp or something?
Yeah, he multiplied fish and bread.
Look at the abilities where he could have potentially, you know, I don't know, gone sideways with that.
Right.
But he didn't because it wasn't even on his radar. It wasn't on his mind.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't in his heart.
Right, right.
But yet at the same time, they didn't go around keeping someone from being drunk. They didn't prevent someone from stealing. They allowed people to be who they are and say, make your own choice.
Right.
Decide.
Yeah. Yeah, tell me what this sounds like when I read this. John 15, verse 5 in the Message, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I in you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing.
Sounds like the Bible.
Well, yeah, it does sound like the Bible.
Oh, did you want something like a little more definitive?
Yeah, sure. Just give me a little bit more.
I don't know. I thought that was a very good answer.
Doesn't that sound like what we're talking about with the connection? Because when the connection's real, eternal life, or I remember growing up, and I grew up in the country, so to speak. I mean, it was definitely country, but we had a neighborhood that we were a part of, so we weren't like, you know, a mile apart from each other. But my house was surrounded by apple orchards, peach orchards, cherry orchards, plums, multiple apples, grapes, cornfields. It was surrounded by a big, huge farm. And when I was a little kid, they'd hire us, I mean, for almost nothing,
yeah,
to go out there and to tie the vines of the grapes that they cut fresh to the metal wires so that the vines could begin to just grow and the branches would grow out and you'd have all these grapes. Well, those grapes freshly cut in the sun, the hot sun, when it's kind of cool, still like in just the beginning of spring, as soon as it got hot on that, it would just ooze all that sap. And your hands were just filled with sap and sticky everywhere. So when Jesus is talking about being connected, that's that sap that flows in you. That's grace. That's the life of God that makes the fruit abundant. So again, it comes back to the choices we make allows that sap to flow. Or it doesn't. It stops it right in its tracks, and you don't have the fruit.
I got 25 cents an acre to walk soybeans and pull the weeds out.
Oh, my goodness.
My grandfather put me in a soybean field at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And they forgot about me. Right. He says grandmother will be here at 12 noon and pick you up for dinner because, you know, then the sun's up and you're done. You walk soybeans in the cool before it gets hot. Well, nobody came to get me because there was a miscommunication. Everybody thought that somebody had picked up this little cowboy. Well, now all of a sudden, the sun is starting to go down, and everybody's looking for me. They think I'm lost. They think I've wandered off. They're all mad. Then they realized that nobody had picked me up out of the bean field.
Right.
And so come to find out, it was about five. I started walking beans around 5:30 in the morning, and now it's a little after 7 at night. And I haven't had anything to drink and nothing to eat all day long. And I was 9 years old. And my grandfather, I said, how long am I going to be out here? And he says, do your work until we come get you. And I said, yes, sir. So I spent all day. I never took a break. I never stopped. I just kept walking row after row, acre after acre, pulling milkweeds and thistles. And because, you know, back then they didn't have the type of herbicides they do now. And that's the way you got your fields clean, was to walk them. So they show. So now there's like three or four cars at the end of the field, and they come running out, and they says, stop. And I says, well, no, I want to get to the end of the field because this will probably be another acre. You know, I was thinking about 25 cents.
Yeah,
and I thought, man, I'm raking it in. And I got to the end of the field, and he says, well, do you have anything to say? And I don't remember the amount, but I said, well, you know, I made this much money. And he says, are you thirsty? And I said, yes, sir. And he says, are you hungry? And I said, yes. And I mean, I was just covered with dirt because I'd sweat all day long.
Yeah.
And he says, you don't like this, do you? And I says, no, sir, but at least I made money. And he says, well, you're done. And I says, okay. And he says, no, you don't understand. He says, you never, ever have to walk beans again in your life. He says, you've paid your dues. And I made it to the end of the field.
Yeah.
I did the whole field, and it was like,
that's good.
If I went back home, they still talk about, you remember when you were a little kid, you walked soybeans all day long? I can't even get my grandkids to walk 1 acre.
Right. Says, do you remember, did you ever do cherries off trees? They paid us, I think, $1 a bushel for cherries. But you got a big bushel basket, and you know how many cherries it takes to fill that. And you couldn't just fill it a little bit. It had to be all the way full.
Heaping full.
But you had to take cans with you up into the trees, and you'd fill your can.
Because where I grew up, cherry trees were like in maybe someone's backyard, front yard.
Oh, no, we had a whole orchard.
No, they weren't. No, they weren't a crop.
Right.
It was just same with apples. Apples, cherries, peaches, They were just like
something
pleasant. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
But
there'd be a bunch of us. We'd be in the trees, climbing the trees, getting as many chairs as you could. But you'd fill your cans. You have to go back down, empty it. Go back up and fill your can, come back down and empty it.
I made lots of money picking raspberries and blackberries. And then I'd take them to town and sell them to the old ladies that lived in town.
Yeah.
You know, like we're in their 60s right. and 70s. I'd show up at their
back. Were these wild bushes?
Yeah, they were just wild. Yeah. And I'd show up. I'd take the old tractor to town or the old pickup truck to town, me and a couple of dogs, and I'd have about 4 or 5 5-gallon buckets of blackberries and raspberries, you know, and I'd sell them to the old ladies. And, I cleaned up. See, because I wouldn't do nothing unless it had, you know.
Monetary value.
Well, I was in business.
Yeah.
I had a goal. Yeah. I wanted to buy a brand new pickup truck when I turned 16.
And you did.
Deluxe, four-wheel drive, big motor, electric windows, door locks, air conditioning, paid cash.
That was back in what year?
That was a long time ago.
Yeah,
back in the
70s.
Well, it was
late 70s?
Late 70s is when I bought that pickup truck. Yeah. All right. We need some emails. We got one here. It says, hello, Jim BJ Ranger, listening from Maple Grove. Maple Grove, Minnesota, I betcha. It is. It says, hello, Mom and Dad, and hello to Sue. Well, you know who that is.
Dave.
Dave and Barb. Okay. We got another email here that says, hi, BJ, Jim, and Ranger. Wendell and Stacy Millett from Trinidad. We have been enjoying a new lease on life as our personal connection with God is growing. Tonight's program is once again on point, as it is essential with our walk in grace for us to guard our hearts continually. We simply recognize and acknowledge God's grace in the little things. Grace brings us into fellowship and our hearts experience a new sense of peace and freedom. We are encouraged daily as we see God's grace evident in our children's life, creating new opportunities for them in the area of their schooling. You guys are right when you say it's not about the answer, but it's really about asking the right questions.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's about focus.
Right.
It says, because the answer is already given. And it says, greetings to all the listeners. Hey, they sent us a photo.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, they're a real nice looking family. They're all suntanned. They're wearing short pants and short sleeve shirts.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, I guess it's because they're in Trinidad, not Anchorage, Alaska.
Right, it's warm.
Is Trinidad close to Anchorage, Alaska?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, pretty sure.
Do we need a globe?
No, I don't think we need a globe.
But yeah, it's a nice picture. It's Mom, Dad, and it looks like they got three boys or two boys and a girl. They're in shorts and T-shirts.
Okay.
I don't know kids' ages very well.
Right.
It looks like they can eat and feed themselves. What age is that?
What, 11, 12?
I don't know. Are they house broke by then? No diapers?
Yeah, that's for sure.
Okay. Now, folks, we need emails. We need texts about text messages and emails about you. Come on. What is in your way? What do you need to guard your heart from?
Well, I'm going to give you a scripture here that will help you. Over in Proverbs 4:23, the Amplified says, keep and guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Now, here's an interesting thought again. Just like we were talking about over here in John 15, where Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branch, and you can't produce a single thing if you're separated from me. And I told you about my story tying those branches to the wires there with those little twisties there, those little wire things that we had, and all the sap. You see, the sap, the life, comes out of the vine, and it goes into the branches. And just like that, it said here in this scripture, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. It's in your heart that flow these issues of life. It's in your heart that flows healing and health and deliverance. It's out of your spirit. In fact, that's what Jesus said over in John 7:37, when he said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. He's talking about the Spirit. Out of your spirit will flow the grace, the glory, the anointing, the living water, this life. All of it is so necessary, and it all comes from simple choices, simple decisions, whether or not we're in the way or we let God begin to move through us.
When you start recognizing that there are things that you need to guard your heart, the same things that you're guarding your, that you want to guard your heart from, those are the same things that keep your prayers unanswered.
Hmm, that's good.
Those are the same things that keep grace elusive. Well, here, grace this, grace that. Grace, 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 grace. Where in the world is my grace?
Wouldn't you say?
I haven't seen grace ever in my life. Well, maybe because what are your attentions focused on? What are you looking at on a daily basis? What are your desires? What is your field of vision? You know, what's real interesting is a camera can take an incalculable amount of pictures. It can take a picture of two kittens playing. It can take pictures of your grandkids' birthday party. It can take X-rated pictures. It can take pictures of a traffic accident.
Right.
It can take pictures of someone hitting someone else. It can take pictures of someone stealing candy out of a store.
Mm-hmm.
But the camera only records, only acknowledges what it's focused on.
Right.
What are you focused on?
Yeah.
What are you looking at? Where is your energy? Where is your attention? We have talked about this in so many different ways over the history of your show, Jim.
Right.
That guarding your heart really is in essence all these incarnate, just all wrapped up in one big bucket.
Right.
On what are, how can you say you're a family man if you're going out drinking with the guys and you don't get home till 9 o'clock at night?
Right.
And how can you tell your kids you can't afford to take them to the movies because you're spending $30, $40 every day in a bar?
Let me ask this question here and see what you think. Because remember, you made the comment. You said the same things we're guarding our heart from are the same things that are hindering our prayers.
Yes.
Well, we know that all bad choices are forgiven. It's not just that the choice is bad and it's keeping you from your prayers. It's the feelings. It's the emotion. It's the attachments that you have to these choices that hinders your ability to see God, because that's what distracts you from Him.
Find that passage in the King James Version, please, where it talks about if you're going to look, if you're going to talk, if you're going to steal. You know, read a little before it, then read that, then read a little bit after it, because maybe now people will understand that message in the book where it talks about if you think you're going to say something wrong, if you're looking at someone, if you're thinking about something, look what this message is saying. It's saying the intent, the thought process, the feelings and emotions that you are stirring up and conjuring that are giving you the thoughts that are motivating you to do some egregious act, if just get rid of these things so that you can't have these thoughts because you can't act on these thoughts.
It's over in Matthew.
Guard yourself.
Matthew 5, 27 through 30, it says, "You have heard that it was said of those of old, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it's more profitable that you would have one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell."
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm going to give a really good example.
Okay.
Craigslist has a personal section.
Okay.
Men looking for women, women looking for men. Match.com, eHarmony. There's all these dating sites all over the internet. It's real easy to set up an email account under someone's name.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to show photos if you don't want, or you can have photos. You can lie about where you live, your job, and there are so many people on these sites, millions and millions daily.
Right.
And the majority of these people are in a quote-unquote committed relationship.
Right.
And this is how they rationalize it. I'm not using my real name. He thinks I'm in California, but I live in Texas.
Hmm.
And it's not like I'm ever going to meet this man. It's just something to do. I like the conversation.
Right.
Well, the time, the emotions, the effort, how could that not enhance that time with your husband?
Mm-hmm.
The flip side, you're at work. You're in some type of a supervisory position, so as long as you're typing stuff on a computer, anybody that walks by figures, well, I don't want to be the boss. He's got his face buried in his computer all day long. And you're flirting and talking and looking at photos of women half of your day. Well, it's not like I'm cheating. They don't really know me.
Right.
I'm just, you know. Well, what do you think that would do at home if you spent a fraction of that time sending text messages and emails to the woman that cleans your socks and underwear?
Right. Right.
What do you think that would do for the relationship?
Yeah. All choices, isn't it?
It's all choices.
Yeah.
Yeah. You say you love your kids, but you gave them really crummy birthday gifts because you're going fishing in a $35,000 bass boat. Mm-hmm. When you could have bought a used one for $8,000 or $10,000 and could have given your kids one whopper of birthdays and Christmas.
Right.
It's all about energy. It's all about where's your perspective. What you do with yourself. And see, here's the thing. Negative energy, the devil, Satan, has nothing to do with these things. He could care less.
Right.
He's happy because you're literally doing your work. You're putting a wedge between your relationship with your family and your wife or your husband. You're severing the ties to try to develop a long-lasting relationship with your boyfriend or your girlfriend with this type of ridiculous things. This is a type of guarding because either you... And what's real weird is routines and habits have everything to do with a relationship with Christ. Because you get into a habit and routine of making good choices, or you get into a habit
That's right.
Of making bad choices. We got a text that says, Jim, BJ, and Ranger, enjoying topic tonight, an illustration of grapevine as life of God flows through us.
You know, Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 12, it says, let us lay aside the sin and the weight which so easily ensnares us, entangles us, or that we're attached to. Well, you know, sin is a bad choice. He's saying, let's lay aside the bad choices that brings an ensnaring or an entanglement, like a web. And people get caught in a web with their bad choices. I'm just kind of reminded of that because everything about your heart has to do with where your affections are. And the scripture says, where your treasure is where your heart will be also. The Message Bible says, where your treasure is where you will most want to be and where you will find yourself being.
Well, see, what they mean by, what is the definition of treasure? Something valuable, something
right.
important,
right.
something precious, something that has a viable tangibility to it, something that you cherish, that you love, treasure. The word treasure is a broad stroke paintbrush that can encompass all kinds of things. I treasure horses.
Right.
I treasure my dog Ranger.
Affections, emotions, passions, feelings. It's what moves you the most.
Yeah. I mean, I can't treasure you because you screwed me out of snacks. You didn't bring anything tonight.
Yeah, I just gave you a few pieces of last week's.
Yeah, leftover candy that's been in a pouch in the trunk of a car.
Chocolate clusters.
Yeah.
Peanut clusters.
But come on, folks. We need some emails and text. You know, I don't think anybody's listening. They're all gone.
Yeah.
Is there something good on TV tonight?
Not as far as I'm concerned.
Is it a holiday?
I mean, the World Cup is playing.
The what?
Well, the soccer tournaments. The world, it's from
Brazil. Is soccer popular?
Well, this is the big to-do, you know, where the whole world comes together to compete, you know.
So, I thought at World Cups they have riots.
They probably do. It's down in Brazil they're having it.
I thought they have gambling and riots.
Or São Paulo.
Yeah, that's the world coming together. There you go.
Right, right.
Let's go to soccer, get beat up and drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's on my list of things to do. See, soccer's bad. I've never understood soccer.
Well, if you take our topic tonight, you can put it in any and everything that has to do with your life. This past weekend, I was in California, and this is just how it was presented to me, and it made a lot of sense to the people that were listening. But if you're talking about protecting or guarding your heart, we've already mentioned this, but I'll just bring it right out straightforward. If you've got a relationship, husband, wife, parent, child, boyfriend, girlfriend, you want to protect that. You ask yourself the question, how come relationships break up? How come relationships don't last? How come people have so many divorces? It's because they're not protecting or guarding their heart. They let their eyes wander. They make wrong choices. They don't do the simple and small little things like you just made a mention of. If your face is buried in your computer all day long and you're sending messages, if you just gave a tenth of that time to the one that you supposedly love, you'd have an amazing relationship.
Well, or it's like someone will say you're not spending enough time with the family. Well, they come home and they bury themselves in the garage.
Okay.
Or they go in the den and they text message, or they spend all night watching TV or talking on the phone.
Right. Which is another form of alienating yourself from the people.
You know, speaking of soccer is as dumb as golf. Because you kick the ball away from you, and then you run just so you can kick it farther, so you have to run more. That's ridiculous. Why take a club and hit a ball hundreds of yards away just so you have to carry a bunch of equipment, get up to the ball, and then hit it farther?
Exercise.
So you have to walk farther.
Exercise.
Now, a real sport, a sport that makes perfect sense, bowling. Because you throw the ball away and it comes back to you.
Oh, that's so bad.
Now, there, that makes sense.
Well, you do a polo. Horses are involved in polo. What are you going to do with that?
I'm not a big fan of polo because it's really hard on horses.
Oh.
Each period of polo is called a chucker, like the bird chucker.
Right.
And usually somebody that plays polo rides the snot out of those horses. They're all sore and worn out in about 5 years. And usually they have to switch horses a lot. Usually someone that plays polo will be on at least 7 to 8 horses or more in one game. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of that. Horses weren't designed for polo.
Yeah.
Frankly, horses weren't built and designed for most things that people do. But let's see if we got any. Oh, I think we got an email. We got 2 emails. Here we go. It says, "Hi, Ranger, Jim, and BJ." Oh, you know what? Finally, after 2 years, the girls learned. It's homemade chicken soup for dinner night. All this talk about fruit reminds me of my summer job cutting apricots when I was a kid. I think Barb did it too. I'm loving the message tonight, taking notes. Hi, Mom and Dad, Dave and Barb. This is from Sue in Livermore, California.
Good.
And, you know, you don't pick grapes, you cut grapes.
Yeah.
It's a technical thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, we got another photo. It says, "Hello, BJ, Jim." It says, "Hello, BJ, Jim, and BJ." What do you think? One of those might have been Ranger, right?
Right, I think so.
It says, "The bikers are listening. Love the illustration of sap flowing from the vine when we're connected. Grace has been helping Grandpa do a building project each step of the way. Hello to family. Oh, it's from Grandpa and Grandma. We got a picture of them.
Oh, that's cool.
They got Harley stuff on. Man, I really blew it. Hold on a second. I got to find it here. See, I really need to like pre-read these before we...
Well, you usually do.
Well, I try, but not always. But here we go.
They don't waste any time, do they?
No, no. You know what? You can just tell by the way that Grandpa drives that machine.
Yeah.
He's a violator.
Yeah.
He's there's probably several vehicle codes that boy is. Okay. Here, folks, I got to tell you, there's a Harley sign in the back, and they've got Harley jackets on and baseball caps. It's Grandma and Grandpa out of Morgan Hill, California, you know, Sue's mom and Barb's mom. They're not looking that old. Hmm. They're holding up well.
Hmm. That's nice.
Wonder if they had work done. That's probably not something to ask, is it?
No, it's not something to ask.
You know, sometimes I crack myself up.
Yeah.
Come look at this real quick.
Okay.
I wonder if I can blow this up for you. Oh, yeah. Oh, you got to come see him because it shows a Harley in the back and everything. There's a Harley motorcycle behind him. See, look at him.
Oh, yeah.
They're doing good, aren't they?
Yeah, real good.
That's a nice picture of them.
A sporting couple.
Yeah, we like them. The Outlaw Bikers, Grandma and Grandpa, Morgan Hill, California.
It's nice to have a face to put around that.
It is. Those are nice emails. Let's see. We need some text messages, folks. The way you text messages show is the first word that you type in your text message is the word grace. And then you send it to this 5-digit number, 69302. If you'd like to send an email to the show, it's just the name of the show, The Abiding Presence at G, the letter Gmail, .com. Well, we've had two or three texts. We've had two or three emails, so we have six people listening.
I want to, you know what a pig in a blanket is? Did you ever have those when you were growing up? Those hot dogs that were wound with bacon and had cheese all over them?
Yeah.
No, they were real good. Well, I want to kind of do that a little bit with this, the thoughts that we're bringing out tonight, and give you a scripture here, because I want to wrap everything around this particular phrase here that I think is really important and will mean something to you. But let me read the scripture first. It says in Matthew 11:27 in the Message Bible, Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father-Son operation, coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it, line by line, with anyone willing to listen. You see, everything we're talking about here tonight regarding guarding your heart, everything that would have to do with making choices about your heart has nothing to do with law. It has nothing to do with legalism. It has nothing to do with sin consciousness, or you're just putting people back under the bondage of works mentality. It has everything to do with being conscious of a relationship, being conscious of a person. And I think because everybody can relate to this, because I know people's relationships with their husbands and wives are at all different stages, but pretty much everybody that's ever been through some type of a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship can identify with the kind of choices that are made from the guy to the girl, from the girl to the guy, that have to do with spending as much time as you can spend with each other and doing things for each other that would bless or make each other feel good. And so all of it has to do with something we've talked about a long time ago on our show. The word connection, which means time, tangibility, and shared experiences. BJ, do you remember that? I took those notes down a long time ago, wrote that down, something you said when I asked you. Give me the idea of what a connection really means. You said it's time, tangibility and shared experiences.
Right.
And really, if you think about that, that defines a boyfriend and a girlfriend. You want as much time as you can get with them. I mean, if it has to be on the phone, you'll be on the phone till late. You want tangibility. You don't just want to be have someone in Timbuktu or you're in some other part of the county. You want to be together, and then you want shared experiences. And that's what makes the relationship grow, and without those, the relationship dies.
Well, that's why I've never had kids and I haven't been married, because I knew those things would get in the way of having fun.
With horses.
Well, just fun.
Okay.
Just general fun.
Just fun, yeah. All right.
Actually, the other day I was invited to a wedding, and I said, I believe this, there is no difference between a wedding and a funeral. Life as you know it is over.
Right.
The music is different. The food is the same.
And the clothes are the same.
Right. Yeah. So to me, I don't go to funerals and I don't go to weddings, because I think they're both two serious, negative, life-altering experiences.
Okay.
But no, I just didn't. We got a text here. It says, could you go into more explanation on being in your own way? And then it says, thanks. That's a text that just came in.
Yeah, well, being in your own way, I guess we can both give our opinion of this. Being in your own way means that you're leaning upon your own ability and you're not trusting God. You know, if you thought for a second about a father and a little boy relationship and the father's playing with the little boy, the trust factor is so big that you can tell a little boy to jump, I mean, from one place to another, and the father will catch him. And he doesn't even think twice, because there's trust there. He trusts the father. And he's actually having fun. When mom might walk around the corner and think that this is dangerous, the boy is having fun saying, let's do it again. My opinion about getting in your own way is when you lean upon your own ability and won't trust God, and you find yourself in the way by trying to help God when he doesn't need your help.
I'm going to give two explanations of in your own way.
Okay.
You ask God for help to relieve your pain, your sickness, whatever physical ailment it is. And at the same time that you're praying, you're making a doctor's appointment.
Right.
Or you're sitting in the doctor's office waiting for your turn, and you're asking God to heal you. Well, why are you in the doctor's office? If you're asking for spiritual healing and you're asking for a spiritual connection, why are you wasting worldly time with worldly medicine?
Hmm.
That's one way in your way.
Sure.
Another thing that puts you in your way is You're praying for a raise at your job because you want your kids to have a little better clothes for school, maybe possibly a raise at your job would mean a better apartment.
Right.
Maybe you would be able to afford a car payment, so you would have safer, reliable transportation. But yet at the same time that you're praying for a raise at work, you're not real smart with the money that you already have. The fact that you've got a $50 or $60 left over every week after all the kids are fed and clothes and the bills are paid, that $40 or $50 goes to the Indian casino.
Right.
It goes to alcohol. It's just wasted on ridiculous things that you don't need.
Right, right.
Well, that's what we mean by in your own way.
Sure.
What do you do with the tools and the time that you have? And think of it this way. We've all been in this position. Somebody wants to borrow $20 from you, and you've loaned them $20 before, and you and they says I just want to keep the phone on. I want to keep the lights on. I just want to make sure that I've got lunch money for my kids this week. Well, you give them $20 and you feel so good that you had $20 to give. And then it doesn't bother you that you needed that $20 because it makes you good that you could help someone else.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they come to work the next day and they and you go, what's wrong with you? And you go, oh, I had a late night. Well, come to find out, I only have to make a partial payment to keep the lights on. So I had a little money left over, so I went out with my friends last night and had a little too many.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you feel about loaning them $20 the right. next time they say,
sure,
I need $20?
Right.
How much are you going to want to contribute to their
right.
poor choices?
Their habit, whatever it is.
Now, put yourself in the position of God, Jesus, Grace, the Holy Spirit. Put your position in the guise. Somebody is making poor choices. Why do you want to give them more energy, more time, more money to perpetuate bad choices?
Right.
You don't.
Sure.
You sit back on your hands and you cross your fingers and toes because you want to give them grace and you want to help them in all ways. But
right.
yet, you want them to make good choices.
Right, exactly.
All right, we got some emails here. I hope that explained that text all right. You think we did all right?
Yeah, I do.
It says, I recently re-listened to your intimacy with the Holy Spirit set. Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
You do? What is that?
It's just some of the product that we have on our table.
It says, and Healing by Design set from 2012.
Uh-huh.
I noticed a very different tone in you, Jim. My question is, what are your biggest revelations or shift in thinking since the time of the intimacy set, which, from what I gathered, may have been 10 years or more ago?
Well, the biggest shift that's taken place was really what happened 3 years ago when BJ and I started talking and sharing things. And, you know, even that series that I did, the other one that you were talking about, Until I Come, or teaching people about doing the works of Jesus, the material itself is not wrong. It's accurate material. But the biggest shift is all the limitations and the boundaries that I had put on things in the past, I'm beginning to take those off. And I'm becoming so much more absolute in my preaching, in my experiences, even with my own personal relationship with God, and then my ability to help other people, because the more absolute you become, the easier it is to dissect where something's wrong. When you're not very absolute, you spin in circles. And so some of these thoughts really have a lot to do with what we're even talking about tonight, guarding your heart. Here's one of the biggest problems that I have, and I still have it to a degree. And it comes, and this is why we're preaching this sermon, but it is the on and off switch. It's a terrible thing. And in the circles that we were in for years, that's kind of how people did. I mean, it was on and off. When you're in the pulpit, there's an anointing, and you're just tuned into God. And when you're not in the pulpit, you're kind of just doing your thing. It's like there's two different realities or two different worlds. And I realize there's a difference when you're preaching to others versus when you're living your life. But there's no difference in your ability to stay connected to God. And that's the biggest part that's changing me, is leaving my switch on instead of turning it on and off.
I think it's a wonderful, wonderful thing that someone listens to something that you did 10 or 12 years ago.
Right.
And that you're different now.
Uh-huh.
That shows progress and growth.
Right.
I would be afraid, sad, despondent, well, not despondent, but disgusted.
Well, you wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be doing the show.
We wouldn't be doing the show if someone said, well, I bought this and it looks like you did it 10 years ago, and it's just as current and fresh today.
Right.
In 2014. That's the problem with organized religion.
Right.
Remember how people say, well, we'll be gone for several months.
I was thinking about that. Yeah.
We've been gone 6 months, and it's like we never left.
Yeah.
It's just the same message. Oh, I love this sermon. He does this sermon 3 or 4 times a year, and I love it.
Right.
Gee, many Christmas, folks. Progress. Evolution. The manufacturing, the creating, the enjoying, the progress of things. We got one here. It says, hey, Ranger, BJ, and Jim, shout out to everyone listening tonight. So this person is saying hello to all of us. It says, great show. It would be easy to say we know all this, but I'm convinced it's these little things that we sometimes ignore that are the little foxes. Thanks for shining a light on these topics with your unique style that helps us check our individual absoluteness. I love the continual notion of filtering out the things that separate us and focusing on time, tangibility, and shared experience that improve our connection. This is from Breakfast Ed in North Carolina.
Yeah, thanks, Ed.
We got
for sharing that.
We got a picture. Somebody sent us a picture of a forklift in a warehouse.
All right. That must be Nick.
Yeah, it could be. It says, I was spending too much time writing and recording and thinking about music, decided to cut back and give that energy to the guys. Here's my forklift and palletizer. And then it says N. That must be Nick.
Must be Nick.
I don't know. Well, there's a lot of forklifts in the world. It's a Nissan propane-powered forklift, gray in color.
Okay. I'll ask him next time I see
him. And it has no traction in the dirt because the tires are solid rubber and they don't have tread on them.
Well, I'm going to be back up in North Carolina in August.
You are? Is that where Nick is?
He is, yeah. And where Ed is, and Tim.
So that means breakfast,
Ed? Maybe breakfast.
Great.
Might do breakfast again.
Yeah, glad to hear it. You know, on guarding and and the funny thing about this is I'm not a breakfast eater.
You're not?
No.
Well, I'm not, but if I can get a good one, I love it.
No. I mean, I get up in the morning, do chores, check on all the horses.
Did you grow up with biscuits and gravy? Did you ever have
that? No, not really.
And no?
No. No. When I was a kid, everybody would get up, we'd go outside and do chores, and then about 7:30 in the morning, we'd come in the house, and everybody would tank up on food, and then we'd all go back out, and then about 10:30 or 11, there'd be like sandwiches.
Right.
And then about 12:30 or 1 o'clock, there'd be a big meal, like a full course meal.
Hmm.
And then about 5:30, 6 o'clock at night, there'd be supper after chores. But see, the 7:30 breakfast, I would never come in. I'd just stay out and work.
Hmm.
Or I'd come in to get warm or to put dry clothes on, and then I'd go right back out while everybody ate.
Yeah, I like breakfast if I could get it. And we didn't grow up with biscuits and gravy. It was kind of cream of wheat, cream of rice, cereals, you know, oatmeal. We didn't have the southern flair.
No, I'm not into grits, okra. I don't like biscuits and gravy.
See, I like all that stuff. That's good.
No.
I've converted. That's good. Well, here's a scripture here, Matthew 15, verse 8, so we can continue with what we're saying. I like what Jesus said. And, oh, by the way, let me throw this in, and we'll probably start talking about some of this now to the end of the program, but if you look at Jesus and how he talked, and you look at Paul and how he talked, both of them literally were just shouting from the rooftop, guard your heart. They talked so much and gave warnings constantly that had nothing to do with works and legalism. I throw that in because people are so worried about the message of grace, they're preaching that now that you have grace, you don't have to do anything. It's not about doing, it's about believing. Well, it is about believing in what Jesus has done, but the next step has to do with your response to that. So there's a response. So we've talked about this before, action and reaction, cause and effect. What Jesus has done will cause you to respond. Those are choices, folks. It's the same thing as saying, you know, just because you know you're alive and you know you're breathing doesn't mean you lay in bed all day. You got to make a choice to get up. And from your first choice, you'll make thousands of choices all day long, and most of them, you're unaware of the choices. They're just subconscious choices or routines or habits or ways you've done this and ways you've done that that you've become comfortable with. Well, listen to what Jesus said. He said here in Matthew 15:8, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart," see, we're talking about guarding your heart, "but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." So notice, these people are teaching things, they're instructing other people, they're worshiping God, maybe lifting their hands, maybe singing, maybe in a time of just being very quiet, prayer times. But it says, their heart is far from me, so all of that is in vain. They're saying the right thing, it seems that they're doing the right thing, but their heart isn't attached, which means there's no connection. And this is the thing that we're protecting and that we're guarding. We're protecting the connection that gives us a tangible relationship with God. The same way that when I'm on the road, I protect myself so that I think right and do right because my wife is at home. And in 25 years or more of traveling on the road, I've never been approached by another woman. I've never had a situation that's been contrary to my vows that I gave my wife. It's because I've protected my heart. That means I can have a connection with my wife instead of breaking that connection and having a terrible situation where there's a separation, divorce, and so on and so forth. Folks, these are the type of things that are real in the world we live in, but it's just as real when you look at it and how you relate to God.
Well, yeah, and also take into account, Jim, that you're just not that fun to be around.
Well, I get it. I realize, you know. I mean,
you know, you're.
That's okay, though. It's worked for me.
You're not the shiniest marble in the bag either.
I got it. Getting up
there in age.
Yeah. And that's okay because it's working. It's working for me.
You know, me and Ranger.
You know, folks, if you haven't figured this out by now, some of them, yeah, I know. Get your dog to agree with you. I know. You know, that's just Ranger.
Wait, a good girl, Ranger.
Ranger, come on over here, honey. Sit over here by me. Come on. He's holding you back right now because you really want to be here.
I'm not holding her back.
Come on.
That's crazy.
But if you haven't figured it out by now, BJ takes great joy in what you just experienced. And that's okay. That's all right. I've got big shoulders.
Oh, listen.
He's still laughing.
Oh, poor little Jim. Poor little Jim. All aboard. Let's get on the poor Jim train.
I tell you what, we might actually get a bunch of emails and texts from that.
Oh, yeah. I'm just...
That's how many years of radio?
What?
How many years of radio have you been involved? You got all kinds of gadgets.
Well, actually, the horse show is about... my show about horses will be 16 years old in
Do you have any
August.
Other shows older, or is that the oldest?
Nope, that's the oldest.
Okay.
That's the one that started it all. That's the one that fuels
the
fires
of
broadcasting.
The old, have you ever seen the movies that show the old movies of how they did things where guys are back there
making all the sounds?
Drums and sounds, and they got
and
bells.
Doors.
Yeah, all that stuff. I like that. I think that's actually really creative. Now, of course, it's just buttons and stuff, but...
It is.
It was an art back then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Galloping, well, galloping, you know, like their feet, and they'd have certain things like cups that would go over top of a floor that make a galloping
where
sound.
Where I grew up for anything that, there isn't much, but any good that is in me is a testament to my grandparents, because I grew up with my grandparents.
Right.
That being said, where I grew up, for, I don't know, as long as I can remember, 15, 20 years or more, every Saturday night there was a radio station. And they had all the old radio shows.
Right.
From the 30s and 40s before there was TV.
Mm-hmm.
Like the murder mystery ones.
Yeah.
And they were always, you know, the organs would go dun dun dun.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and the footsteps and people running and everything.
Right. The creaky door.
The creaky doors and the storms.
Whoosh, yeah.
You know, the wind.
Screams.
The screams and all the wind and everything. And so every Saturday night, when for most of my life as a kid, night was listening to the those old radio shows.
Hmm.
You know,
it really
sound
tweaks
effects.
Your imagination, doesn't it?
Well, it does. You know, it paints a picture, and I think it's just a testament to technology. I think when people really think about it, you know, technology really doesn't, you know, do a lot. Like, you know, well, just think of this.
Oh, she must have stepped on a nail.
Yeah.
I hate busy sounds.
Do you? You don't like busy sounds?
No.
Does that bother you?
Well, nowadays it just goes to the voicemail. But yes, you know, years ago, you'd have to dial all those numbers again and wait for it to come back. Yeah, that's good.
Let us in. It's cold out here. We're getting wet. Open the door, for goodness sakes. Let us in.
But that's courtesy of Dave and Barb, by the way. The new right. The new huge broadcasting production board. It allows me to have all kinds of bells and whistles to do those things. So thanks again to Dave and Barb.
It is. It's good.
All right. Now let's see. We got an email here. And, oh, this is appropriate. It says, please share some testimonies from your recent meetings, miracles, etc.
Okay. Just got a call back. A call today from one of the pastors in town. And I guess there was a lady that had problems in her spine for years. And I laid hands on her one night, and the bottom half of her spine was released, and she was healed. And I didn't know that the rest of it wasn't. So, but she came back the next night, and I don't believe that I do these things. But anyhow, she said I grabbed her head and started twisting it all over the place. and she said that whole top half of her spine that was still hurting is completely free, and she's all healed. So that was wonderful. Then we had...
You're lucky she didn't call the police on you.
I know. I get that. See, we're right on step here tonight. And then there were two ladies in the last meeting I was at Sunday night that had bone spurs in their feet. And I didn't even pray for them. I just asked them, have you ever heard us talk about the questions? Well, they're not both questions. One's a statement, but what if and maybe? What if and maybe? And I asked her, well, what if the power of God? What if grace? What if God's all over you right now? She said, well, I think he is. I said, well, he is. Maybe you don't have those bone spurs anymore. What if you didn't? What could you do? And she began to stamp her feet. She said, well, they're gone. I said, well, they are. And I didn't even have to pray for it. And that kind of almost reminds you of the first time you helped a lady Remember?
The first one...
With the shoulder?
No, it was her neck.
I thought it was a shoulder. But nonetheless, remember, you didn't pray for her.
No.
You didn't lay hands on her. You basically just said the same type of thing. And that's how the second person with the bone spurs was healed, too. I said, well, you're standing right next to that lady. Yeah. I said, why wouldn't grace be here, too? And why wouldn't you have the same result? And she said, I wonder if I do. I said, well, why don't you check? And she started jumping on her feet, and she said, sure enough, they're gone.
We got a text message. It said, BJ, what would you say is your biggest shifts in thinking or revelation since you've got to know the guys? And then this is from someone named Chris in Owosso. I would say my biggest shift in thinking or my biggest revelation is just how screwed up organized religion is and how wrong the message is that people are taught, that the misinformation, the perversion of scripture, and then the other biggest thing is how really nothing really matters. I mean, when you boil it down to gravy,
right,
there are, you can count what's important on one hand and still have pink fingers to pick your nose. I mean, there's just the things that I used to think were important I don't spend time with.
Right.
And what's interesting enough, if you don't understand this, and probably some of you are aware, if you know somebody who's had a stroke, a heart attack, they're on kidney dialysis, they almost died in an automobile accident, they've had a heart transplant, someone who has some, I mean, we're talking, they were so close to dying that if you would have placed a bet, you would have bet they would have died.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 3 feet in a grave, 1 foot on a banana peel type of experience in their life.
Right, right.
When they're past it and they're enjoying their life again,
mm-hmm.
they really don't care about much. Because they were so close to dying that they come to terms with what's important and basically what is trash, garbage.
Right.
Who
right.
cares? You know, who really cares?
Right.
Like today, one of the cowgirls on the ranch, she says, well, I want to make sure I get home on time and get all my own horse chores done. And I said, why? And I said, my favorite TV show's on tonight. And she, I guess the look of my face, she says, you really don't care about this, do you? And I says, no. I says, you can leave when you get your chores done. When you get your work done, if it's early, great. If not, but everything's got to be done right.
Right. Right.
If you want to hurry up and do it fast, go ahead. If you want to take your time and sit down in the shade for 5 minutes and have a bottle of Gatorade, I don't care. But you're not leaving until
right.
you know your duties are done for the day right. here in the ranch.
Right.
And she says, okay, great. And then she started to hurry. I mean, she was really working. And she was already dripping with sweat. And I asked her, I says, it's your favorite show, right? And I said, yeah. And I said, what did they do on this show 3 weeks ago? And she stopped and she says, what? And I says, what'd they do on the show 3 weeks ago? And then I says, what'd they do 2 weeks ago? And she says, well, I remember that. And then I said, and she got really quiet and I says, how important is this for you to work so hard and so fast when you're already tired and hot and sweaty and you can't even remember 3 weeks ago what was so special or important on this TV show?
Mm-hmm. It proves the point about it not being worth anything, doesn't it?
Yeah, I said, and she got real quiet and she says, you know what? She says, can I have a bottle of Gatorade? I says, yeah, what color you want? Because we're, you know, close to the house.
Right, right.
I need a new refrigerator in the barn, by the way. You got a used refrigerator to come by, Jim?
Not on hand.
I want a full-size one so I can, you know, have like, have a couple hundred bottles of water and Gatorade in there.
In the barn?
Yeah, in the barn.
Okay.
And I gave her a bottle of Gatorade, and she sat on my porch swing for about 20 minutes, just taking a break, playing with Ranger, you know. And then she did her...
Finished up
for the day.
Yeah.
And she went home. And I said, now, wasn't that nice? And she says, yeah. And I says, and this is what she said. She said, I was in such a hurry, I almost slammed my finger in the door of the truck. That's how hurried I was to get home for that TV. Now, folks, that's grace. I didn't tell her that, but I said, that would have been grace. That would have been time to say, thanks, Grace, for not my finger being in the
right.
slammed in the door of the truck.
Right.
Because this is what people do to themselves.
Yeah, all the time.
It's like we've said before, when you were a child, you thought your life was over because you got a D on your report card.
Mm-hmm.
You thought your life was over because you forgot your homework. And then all of a sudden, 6 months later, you wouldn't have remembered that unless someone showed you a video and say, look, this is you crying and upset because you got a D on your report card.
Right. Well, look at what grace did right here, and look at this verse in Titus 2, verse 11, and it's exactly what BJ just preached there by a story, and it is this. It says, for the grace of God, his unmerited favor and blessing, has come forward and appeared for the deliverance from sin and eternal salvation for all mankind. Now notice verse 12. It has trained us to reject and renounce all ungodliness, irreligion, which is religion that's not real, and worldly passionate desires, to live discreet, temperate, self-controlled, upright, devout, spiritually whole lives in this present world. So notice what it says grace is doing. Grace is protecting. Grace is guarding you. It's just like we started out in the original scripture there with God and Adam and Eve saying, I want you to guard and tend and watch over the garden. In other words, guard your heart. And notice what Proverbs 4 said with Solomon. He said, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. And notice here what Paul is saying in Titus. He's saying the grace of God will train you. It will teach you to actually guard yourself against ungodliness, unnecessary things, drama, problems, crisis, all the nonsense of life that doesn't mean anything, and it'll turn your attention to God so that you can live temperate, self-controlled, upright, devout, spiritually whole lives in this present world. And don't let those big words get to you, because what they all boil down to is grace will help to guard your life against nonsense so that you can experience God and find reality. And that's what's so important. You know, it's very difficult to tell somebody about how good the most special steak you've ever had in your life is when they've never had anything even remotely close. You can describe it the best you can. You can tell how juicy it is. You can tell how it melts in your mouth. You can talk about the flavor. But if they've never had anything remotely close, it's very difficult for them to actually get into the same conversation and experience what you're talking about, because they're not even close to the experience. Well, what about this? That's the same thing. Grace is guarding you and protecting you so that you can experience God. The psalmist said it this way. He said, taste and see that the Lord is good. God wants you to taste him. He wants you to see him. He wants you to experience him. And grace is there to help protect you against what will hinder those experiences so that you can turn and have the experience with God.
We got a text that came in. It says, was listening to the live streaming and wondering if you could share more about your experiment in giving. What do you know what they mean by that?
Well, yeah. In
I don't know what that means, experiment in giving.
On Wednesday nights, which I will be there tomorrow night.
Okay.
We might as well say something about that. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, I'll be at the Hardesty Library for what's called a Bible study, where we call it What is Reality? And we've got probably 40 people to 45, well, anywhere between 35 to 45, that show up, and they're beginning to learn how to recognize grace in their life, how to use grace in their life, and how to be more focused on a relationship with God, which has everything to do with turning away from the world. Well, we also have a live stream that will take place. In fact, last week we had 18 people that were watching the live stream, and in very different parts of the world. In fact, one of our ladies there, Jian from China, likes to watch the live stream.
Oh, Jian watches it?
Yeah, she likes to watch it.
With her friend Feng?
Probably, yeah. I haven't, you know, maybe Jian, if you're listening tonight, let us know if both of you watch the live stream and if you're still watching. Anyhow, the live stream is available on Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and also jimhockaday.com website. So, what you're talking about, I'm experimenting with the people because all this time, for a year and over a year and a half, I've never asked for one offering. And I told everybody, I am not asking for an offering right now because of trying to have you give me an offering. It's just that finally, I would say 90% of the people that are there are connected in some way or form or fashion. In other words, they're progressing spiritually. And already, certain ones have come to me on the side and have said, we've been giving to you, and ever since we've been giving to you and we're connected, the blessings that have come to us financially have been very overwhelming. We're noticeably watching God do things for us in the area of finances since we've become connected.
Wonder if that's happened with, remember we had a couple in Broken Arrow, they don't want their name mentioned anymore.
Right.
We had a couple in Broken Arrow that sent...
Yeah, for the text messages.
They sent $100 every month because that's what I pay for text messaging.
Right.
They sent a check every month for $100 to pay for text messaging.
Right.
They did it for a long time.
Right, right.
Yeah, I wonder if that...
I would love to hear from them. We won't give your name out, but I'd love to hear from you if what you were doing while you were doing it, if it made a significant difference.
I wonder, Dave and Barb, for the board.
Yeah, what they gave for the board, if they've seen an increase. This is why I wanted to do an experiment. So I said, for a two-month period,
okay,
and only a two-month period, I'm not trying to introduce you to have to give to me all the time, but for a two-month period of time, give for the purpose of us continuing the Wednesday night services. Give what's ever on your heart, and begin to notice with your connection if you're starting to see a real increase and God do some wonderful things in
your
life.
But see, I want to add a caveat to this.
Yeah, go right ahead.
If they don't have a connection with the guys,
right?
I mean, I'm being serious now.
Sure, just be straightforward.
If they don't have a connection with the guys, whether they give $5 or $5 million, they won't see anything in return. They might as well have just taken that money and got up to about 85 miles an hour. And
well, do you know why I did this?
Throw it out the window.
Since you said that, let me expound further.
But you understand why I'm...
Exactly, and I'm going to expound on that. I can't tell... Well, I'm not going to reveal names or anything or ministries. But there are ministries that preach so hard...
I will.
...about you giving, and you need to give to us, give to us, give to us. And then they talk about how debt-free they are, how many more churches they're establishing,
yeah,
all the wonderful, amazing things they're doing. But here's the deal. I know people that are working in those ministries that will tell you that know for certain that the majority of the people that are giving, constantly giving, have had little to no responses of,
yeah,
receiving any blessing in their life, and they're literally hurting for money, but they still are pressed upon to give.
Well,
so for these very reasons, we haven't done anything about money on this show. We haven't done anything about money on my Wednesday night services. I constantly, as far as even in my services, I never mention money in any of my services. But here's the point. Once I started seeing people get connected, And what gave me the idea is this. Certain ones were coming up and telling me what was happening to them as a result of some of what they were giving on the side in my Wednesday nights. I never asked for it, but they were giving. and what's been happening to them financially as a result. So I wanted to experiment with it.
We've talked about this before on the show, and this is a perfect time to bring it up, is I know you recall when we started talking about radio. Because I said, I have a radio show about horses, and you have a good message here. Have you thought about radio?
Right.
I said, because...
That was 3 years ago.
I said, people are lazy. It's real easy to them to listen to something at their leisure than it is to show up in a building somewhere and listen.
Right.
And I said this to you, and you said, really? And I says, yeah. I says, I have a very successful radio shows. I said, and this is what I told you. I says, I can build and create a radio show for you that would make a lot of money. But I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want you to mention my name.
Right.
I'm not going to tell anybody I'm a part of it. But just from strictly business standpoint, I can build and create a show that will rake in lots of money for you. And then I said, or I can build and create a radio show that will really benefit someone. And I told you, I says, I don't know if you're going to have 10 listeners or you'll have 10 million listeners, but I'm here to tell you the people that listen to the show, they will benefit. It will help them to have a relationship with the guys.
Right, right.
And I says, you choose. I don't care. And I says, but if you choose the guys, I said, there's rules. And when we started, when you told people you were going to have a radio show, it was very difficult because they came up with all kinds of really good ways to promote it.
Market.
To market and promote the show.
Sure.
And
sure.
I'd say, no. And they really didn't understand. And they'd say, Jim, why aren't you doing these things? Why are you letting that cowboy keep you from marketing your show and talking about
it? Well,
I
told him, I said, just do it the way we're going to do it. Listen to what he's telling you. This is the route I'm taking.
And the show has always, we continue to get more listeners.
Right.
It seems to benefit people. I mean, I don't think there's anybody that listens to this show that couldn't find something else to do with their time.
Sure.
And we have people that continually talk about listening to the show more than once. Tonight, in a few minutes, when I record the show and I upload it to the internet, there's going to be a pretty good number of people that wait to listen to it all over again.
Right.
I mean, think about it. They've already listened to us once. Then they're going to wait about 15 or 20 minutes while they listen to last week's show.
Sure.
Because there's no dead air. And then I'm going to kick them off when I start streaming tonight's show.
Sure.
Which means they have to log on and load up again to listen.
Right.
And they do.
Yeah.
I think that's an amazing compliment to you, Jim, and to your show.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're thrilled. Both of us are thrilled about where the direction of the show has gone, and that we've stayed true to our original thoughts. And
whenever somebody has sent money to the P.O. box for the show, it's either gone in the barn for equipment.
It's always gone for the show.
It's always 100%. Gone to the show. It's either 100%. Gone to the equipment, to the company that provides the text messaging,
right,
or to the company that does the streaming.
And there was a couple times where we had money left over, and we just went ahead and used it for the monthly show.
Yep, for the monthly
itself.
The cost of the show.
So it's always gone for the show.
And one time a lady sent, money, and I didn't know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I don't know what to do with it. And I wrote her back and I said, I really don't know what to do with this money.
Right.
Everything is okay right now. And I said, why don't you just find somebody around your area where you can see a positive difference? Because
right now
the only thing I'd do with this money is buy candy. And,
well,
and I got money for
now,
candy.
Now, talking about candy, we gotta say this. We do have a $50 Swans
gift card we haven't used yet
that will not go towards the show. It will go towards our bellies.
But you know what we could do with it? We could buy things. We could buy some of the snacks from Swans.
Yeah.
And eat those snacks before the show.
Well, listen, I'm all for, what is it? Is it the cherry, black cherry ice cream?
Yep.
From Swan's is a killer.
Their pot stickers are really good.
And it's
amazing. And their
taquitos
are really good.
So maybe we could buy $50 worth of snacks.
We got a text message here. It says, thanks, Jim and BJ, for what you do. You are making a difference. Dennis and Muriel Mattson, Eau Claire, Wisconsin. See, they're home now.
Yeah, well, great.
Because it's cooler in Wisconsin, and there's no alligator snakes, and there's no mosquitoes the size of Cadillacs.
Well.
And as soon as the snow falls.
That's right.
They'll be back in Florida.
Well, say hi to Pastor Creamy for us.
Yeah, say hi
with
to
all
Sherwood.
The Creamettes.
Ask him why he hasn't been on the show lately.
Colossians, but, I was going to give a scripture here. Colossians 2, 8 to 10, just goes along with our topic again tonight. And it says this, it says, Message Bible, watch out for people who try to dazzle you with big words and intellectual double talk. They want to drag you off into endless arguments that never amount to anything. They'll spread their ideas through the empty traditions of human beings and empty superstitions of spirit beings. But that's not the way of Christ. Everything of God gets expressed in him so you can see and hear him clearly. You don't need a telescope, microscope, horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and the emptiness of the universe without him. When you come to him, that fullness comes together for you too. His power extends over everything. I think that's a wonderful scripture that helps to show Paul was constantly looking out for people, just like what grace does, protecting them so that their relationship could be definitely a very strong. BG, I'm going to throw something out here, but I want your honest opinion on it, because I know you will. Give me that, as to whether this would be a good homework assignment for everybody.
What?
We talked about something tonight that I'm actually going to do that I haven't done before. It's the clickers in each hand.
Yeah.
I wonder if that would be a good homework assignment so that people could see how that the Bible, if you'll take it in context, like for instance, just take one book and go with each clicker and see how many warnings there are to help protect you.
What this came up with is a lot of Jim's friends are real critical of me because I slam organized religion and I talk about buildings and structures and I talk about no progress and how people want you to send $10 for a prayer. You know, your $10 prayer offering. And they said he's always talking negative and he's always slamming things. And I said, if you were to take a counter in each hand,
right,
and you had somebody reading, starting with Genesis and reading the entire Bible, and you had a third person listening, and if you counted every time they talked about how bad the world and the flesh is, how they warn you about something.
Right, protect you.
How negative something is. Watch out for this. Don't do that. Beware of this. Don't think this. Don't do that. And then at the same time, you're good. This is positive. We love you. This good thing will happen. They would see that there is an overwhelming amount of what you could classify as negative, slamming danger
mm-hmm.
in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why wouldn't there be? And
right.
then I said, Jim, when you had three girls and they were really young and you went out for the day or you were at an amusement park, I says, if you would have counted how many times you said, nope, go this way, come on, stand in line, be quiet, don't say that.
Hey, don't step in that.
Yeah, don't step in that, pick this up.
Don't put your fingers
don't
in
do
that.
This.
Don't eat that.
And you counted
right.
how many negative warnings, danger things you said versus how many times you told your girls you loved them, they were doing great, you were proud of them, this is a wonderful day, it would have been an overwhelming number of negatives.
Right.
Now, because
yeah.
they're children.
Right. And as
and
they grow up,
they don't know. And they have to be taught what is right or wrong.
Right.
And I said, people who know that there is a God, someone who possibly has been baptized, someone who's possibly been through a communion. So what? If they're not having breakfast, lunch, dinner, and supper with the guys, their prayers aren't being answered 100% of the time, they've got room for growth.
Yes.
And it even talks about people in the Bible as being childlike, how they have to grow and you should have progress and you should mature. Well, then why would we not on a radio show for people that perhaps have not had the accuracy, efficiency
right.
that they really desire right. to have right. with Christ, why would we not want to make sure they know everything that's in their way, everything that's bad, so
yes.
they can recognize good
right.
and they can choose something positive.
Yeah, that's really great. And I was going to say about the example with the children, that as they start to grow up, they begin to learn, you know, it's all relative, but they begin to learn some of those early things of what not to touch and what not to do, and it begins to protect them. But every growth stage you go through, there's a learning curve of what is and what isn't.
And the bottom line is if you agree with this and you see this and you read this in Scripture, then how in the world can someone stand in front of a podium with a microphone on, tell people, you're here, you've made it,
mm-hmm.
and there's no progress,
right?
There's no growth.
Or results in a person's individual
life. They're
basically,
yeah. okay, you're reborn, you're new, you've been saved. Okay, now what? Because most organized religions, there's nothing past being saved and reborn.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
They're keeping you at a baby. You're an infant. You're immature. There's no development. Because without maturity, without development, how in the world can you grow closer to Christ?
Right.
How does that work?
Right.
Where is that written in the book somewhere?
Yeah.
That you just start and you don't go anywhere.
Right,
even Jesus matured in his relationship with his Father. Otherwise, being baptized in a river by John the Baptist, what a waste of time that was.
Yeah.
No, what did he say after he was baptized?
Yeah.
Well, what did Jesus say?
Well, it was time to get going.
He said, now I can get to work.
Right.
Now I can do the work of my Father.
Everything about the baptism led him step by step into his full-time ministry. You know, I what you've heard right here, I definitely do want you to think about this. I'm going to do it this next week.
So what is the homework assignment?
Well, take a chapter of the Bible, take a book of the Bible, one book, and go through it and begin to just do your math. What is being said and protected for your well-being, and what is being said that gives you the wonderful feelings of Christ, and begin to do that, and see that you don't see how much is being spoken to us of a protection and a guarding your heart. That's our topic tonight.
What's really ironic about this, two of the most important books of the Bible, the very first book, Genesis,
right.
The last book, Revelations,
right.
They're overwhelmingly bad.
Right.
It's a sad story.
Yeah.
A sad tale. There's carnage. Yeah. There's a lot happening. And folks, I'm here to tell you, it ain't very good.
Yeah.
And if you start a book off with this,
And you
finish a book with this,
what do you think's in the middle?
Yes, this is why I tell people that Genesis and Revelations and a few small other places in the book are key.
Right.
To the overall message of
yeah.
of hello.
And if you took just what BJ said, you know, and did your mathematic problem, you'd come up with the idea that if I'm going to do life like everybody else is and just kind of be mindless, not use my brain, but just go along with the crowd, I'm probably going to miss the most important things about life, and especially miss God along with everybody else. So when you look at it from that standpoint, that the Bible's really giving you, on one hand, a very negative picture of the world. On the other hand, an opportunity to have an amazingly positive, eternal existence with God. And it starts right here with simple connections with grace.
Are you ready to say something to music?
I am.
What do you think about tonight?
Well, I think we're doing any good?
I
think it's eye-opening. I think it's summarizing to so much of what we have said. And I think that this little challenge for people to go in and take a a book of the Bible, go through it, and begin to do their math, I think that that's going
to
really be
helpful.
And
here's what I want people to do. Can I add something to the homework assignment?
Yeah, sure, please.
Here's what I want you to do. Write down good, bad, look at the numbers, and then next week, during the show next week, just send us a text or an email and say, this is the book, 7 good, 7 bad, however, just short little
or
keep track.
They can send it all through the week, too. They don't have to wait till next week.
Well,
that way you can get some and read through.
Yeah, I could do that. I could check the email every day.
Yep.
Because I spend about an hour here in the barn.
Have you been to the post office lately?
I went a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Maybe I'll go this week. I'll make some people another thing, too, is between tonight, which I'll do this, too. Between tonight is the 24th of June. Next Tuesday night is July 1st. I will go to the P.O. Box July 1st. So you've got 7 days to send something to the barn.
Okay.
And the mailing address is on the radio show contacts page, just like the text in the email.
Well, Father, we thank you for this evening. We know that your grace is with us in an amazing way. It's what Jesus did, all that he did for, so that we could walk in an experience with you, have literally conscious experiences all day long. So even with what's been spoken tonight, take the blinders off our eyes, I'm asking you, for all of us, that we can see things clearly and then really begin to guard ourselves against things, ways of life, patterns, habits, and rituals, even spiritual, or you could say religious rituals, that have done nothing more than take us away from how real you are. Because if we'll guard our heart, I thank you, Lord, that out of our heart will flow the very things that cause all the things that Jesus did to become real. The healing, the health, the benefits, the provision, the soundness of mind, the peace in the heart, the ability to look at the world and not care any longer, to laugh at things that people would cry over, to have joy every morning, and to live in the very peace of God. This is what we ask you for tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, that was pretty good.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. What do you got for us tonight?
Well, I thought we would, we ran a little long. And so I thought I would, there we go. Oh, I found it. Thought we'd end on an upbeat tonight for our ending music.
Sounds good.
Well, folks, you've got your homework assignment. And if you're a new listener, welcome. We're here every Tuesday night here in the barn. Yes, we're in a real barn. Hay, horses, mice, spiders, dogs.
That's right.
Even a city boy sitting across the table from me.
I'm not a city boy.
Well, urban, suburban.
Okay.
You ain't country, buddy.
Well, a little bit.
No, not even close. We're here every Tuesday night. It's going to take me about 15, 20 minutes to get tonight's show recorded, up, and streaming, and then it'll be there until next week's live show. Check out the archives. More importantly, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock Central Time, log on to Jim's ministry website or his Facebook page, right?
Yes.
And you will be able to see and hear him at the Hardesty Library in Tulsa. We want you to take care of yourselves and your horses and the rest of your pets.
There you go.
Flipped out. I was thinking about my radio show. Ranger. Ranger. And remember, folks, dog spelled backwards. What's dog spelled backwards? She always sums it up so well. We should just sit here and let her bark for an hour.
Good girl, Ranger.
Good girl. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
How was the music? Like this music?
I liked it, yeah.
It's kind of cool. Well, it's longer.
Yeah. Surprise me next week.
Surprise you?
Yeah.
Well, I surprised you tonight. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Ranger.